People are everywhere trying to get in shape. They jog, they ride their bikes, they lift weights, they do aerobics. And I guess that's a good thing to do. Everybody's just trying to stay younger, you know, trying to lose a couple of pounds, trying to keep the muscles toned. People will do anything necessary for good health. They'll do any and everything necessary for good health, but they'll let their souls die. People will make provisions for the flesh. They will eat the best food. They'll have the right diet, but they'll let their souls starve. Notice the progression of the prayer of Jesus. As soon as he has told us to pray that the Lord would give us our daily bread, he immediately then says, forgive us of our debts. Now, why does he do that? He joins these two petitions together like bricks in a building. Why does he do that? Well, he does so to show us that though we have daily bread, though we may take care of our bodies and get in shape, yet all is nothing without taking care of our souls. If our sins are not pardoned, we can find little comfort in having good health. It's as if a man that was in jail, he was condemned to die, condemned to be executed the next day, would take a lot of pleasure in his last meal. You know, daily bread may satisfy the appetite, but it is only the forgiveness of sins that can satisfy the soul. And the words of the prayer read, forgive us our debts. You see, the term debt is purposely used here by Jesus because sin is debt. Every sinner is a debtor. But why is sin called debt? Well, debt arises from non-payment of something or not paying what you owe an individual. Or in our case, we are debtors because of a crime we have committed. You think about that. You're a criminal. I'm a criminal. We're all criminals. We have committed treason. We have committed crimes against the Godhead. And not only have we committed treason, we have committed cosmic treason because of our sin. We owe to God perfect obedience. You and you and I, we owe to God perfect obedience. In the garden, God placed Adam, and it was his responsibility to perfectly obey the word of God. And if Adam were to perfectly obey God's word, then all the descendants of Adam, you and I, would have been confirmed in righteousness. But if Adam disobeys, then he becomes a debtor. And all of his descendants become debtors to God. God requires perfection from you. Let me say it again. God requires perfection, righteousness, holiness from you. And though he may grant a reprieve for a time because he is patient and long-suffering with the sinner, yet the sinner still remains bound to eternal death if the debt of perfect obedience is not paid. Now, we have all incurred some kind of debt. We're going to wait just for a moment for Charlie to come in. All right. We have all incurred some kind of a debt in our lives. And most of us have taken care of that debt. But you see, sin is a different kind of debt. It is the worst debt because we have nothing that we can pay. We have nothing that we can pay. Our deeds of so-called righteousness can never pay our debt to God. Our devotion to Christ cannot pay our debt. The money you give to the church cannot pay our debt. The good works that you do in the community cannot pay your debt. You can't pay it. If we could pay it, then we would not need to pray, "Forgive us our debts." We cannot say to God, "I'm going to pay you everything that I owe." Because you can never pay it. Never. You have nothing to pay because even your best attempts at obedience are mixed with sin. Even when you pray the Lord's Prayer, in and of yourselves, even when you pray the Lord's Prayer, it is mixed with sin. When you do good deeds, it is mixed with sin. When you come to church, it is mixed with sin. You have nothing. You have no perfection. You have no righteousness. You have no holiness that you can offer to God to pay your debt. And think about who it is you owe this debt to. It's not your neighbor. It's not to a family member. It is to God, who is holy, holy, holy. He sustains the creation by the power of His Word. He speaks and the waves are calm. He speaks and the blind can see. He reveals Himself to the church, and the church trembles in fear because the earth quakes. Bolts of lightning appear. Even Moses, as he stood on the mountain, said, "This is too much for me. I can't take it." And you owe this God. You are in debt to Him. If you remember when President Kennedy was killed, it's not simply that the news reported him being murdered. They used a different term than murder. They said that the president has been assassinated. They used that term because they understood that this sin against the president was not a sin against an individual. It was a sin against the entire nation. So it was not simply murder. It was assassination. When you sin against God, you are seeking to assassinate Him. You are seeking to honor the Antichrist because you're sinning against an ultimate majesty. Sin against God is cosmic treason. King David, he understood this. And after his sin with Bathsheba, and after he had had Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered, and then God sent Nathan the prophet to David to confront him with his sin, David says, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now he understood that he had sinned against Bathsheba. He understood that he had sinned against Uriah. He understood that he had sinned against the entire nation of Israel, because he was Israel's representation. But he puts his sin in right priority. And he says, "I have sinned against the Lord." Remember the story of the prodigal son. He sins against his father, and he goes off to a far country, and he finds himself working in the pig slop. And the scriptures say he comes to himself and he begins to understand that he has sinned against his father. So he goes back to his father's house and he practices what he's going to say on his way back. But notice again the priority. He does not simply say, "Father, I have sinned against you." He first says, "I have sinned against heaven and in your sight." You see, the priority was for David and for the prodigal son. The priority was that their sin was first and foremost a sin against God. And it gets worse. Sin is the worst debt, because it's not a single debt, but a multiple debt that you owe. Forgive us, not our debt, but forgive us what? Our debts. We have debt upon debt. If you could count all the drops of water in all the oceans and all the seas and all the lakes and all the rivers and all the mud puddles and throughout the whole world, if you could count the drop of water, it would not even come close to how much you have sinned against God. Some of our debt we know. You may have a mortgage. You may have a car payment. You can keep track of those debts. Can you keep track of your vain thoughts? I can't keep track of mine. Can you keep track of your vain thoughts? Not just when you sin, but when you just think about it. Can you keep track of that? No, you can't. We cannot even begin to fathom what we owe to God. We cannot even begin to fathom the amount of debt that we have that must be paid to God. And our sin is the worst kind of debt, because it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable in two aspects. One, there's no denying it. If you ever had children, you know what I'm about to say. "Daddy, Johnny hit me." "Well, no, I didn't." "Yes, you did." "No, I didn't." "Yes, you did." You see, children want to deny that they've done something wrong. If they think they can get away with it, if they think that mom or dad didn't actually see it, then it's just my word against my brother's word. So I'll just deny it. We deny our sin because we think we can get away with it. We think that God doesn't really see. He won't take notice of me. But there's no denying our sin. Our scripture says that if we deny that we are sinners, then we are liars. If we say we have no sin, then we are liars. And there will come a time that God will prove to you that you are a liar. Psalm 50 says, God says, I will set your sin before your eyes. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine on that day of judgment that you stand before the judgment, seat of judgment, and God begins to set before you all your sins? What a day of weeping. What a day of the gnashing of teeth. Because we will not be able to deny it. It'll be right there in front of us. Also, we can't excuse our debt. We can't shift the blame off on someone else. Other debts might be excused. Maybe a good friend or a family member might help you pay off something. But neither man nor angels can help you pay off the debt you owe to God. The psalmist says, no man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. No payment is ever enough. No payment is ever enough. What are you going to do, my friend? You have a great debt, and that debt grows. There's interest on that debt, and it grows moment by moment. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to flee to Jesus Christ. That is your only hope. We confess our debt. We confess our sins. We confess that we are in rebellion against God and that we deserve hell fire. We confess our debt. We cling to the cross. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And the scriptures say, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to forgive you of all unrighteousness. When the scriptures talk about forgiveness of sins, it uses the analogy of having a heavy burden lifted off your back. It's like you're climbing up a hill and you have this heavy burden on your back. And the more you try to go up, the more you slide back down. But Jesus Christ comes and He takes that burden off of your back. And He doesn't even leave you there to climb the mountain. He takes you and brings you to the top. When God forgives sins, He forgives sin completely. The Hebrew term is tetelestai. You know what that means? It means to blot out. It's a commerce, a business terminology in the Hebrew. It means that your debt is fully paid for. When Jesus was suffering on the cross, and He said, "It is finished," the word that He used is tetelestai. Meaning the debt is paid. The debt is paid. The debt that you owe, the debt that you cannot even fathom how great it is, has been paid for you by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't you think that if there was some other way for your sins to be forgiven, you know, God's kind of smart. Don't you think He could have come up with another way instead of His Son having to suffer? But because He loves you, Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid your debt in full, tetelestai, paid in full. The wrath of the Father is no longer upon you. God is no longer angry with you. When you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God took your sin. He took it so seriously that He was compelled by His love to pay the debt that you owed to Him. Jesus Christ suffered the torments of hell so that you would not have to. And your pardon is sealed in the blood of Christ. Never again to be brought to your charge. Your debt is paid for. Your sins are forgiven. God was the offended party, and God therefore determined what the penalty for your debt must be. But He also determined that it would please Him through the sacrifice of His Son to pay your penalty. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful God we serve. What a loving God we have. That where our sin abounds, the grace of God has abounded even more. Therefore, let us serve Him in love. Let us love Him by loving each other, as Christ has forgiven us. Let us be willing to forgive others just as we have been forgiven. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Christ. We thank You for the forgiveness of sins. We thank You that Christ has fully paid the debt that we owed to You. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that through Your bountiful grace, You would strengthen us to be ever mindful of Your glory, to be ever mindful of Your love to us in Christ, to be ever mindful of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, we would love You with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us close our worship.